Hey, welcome to Devotions from Calvary, where truth is revealed and Christ is exalted. Thank you for joining me today for another episode of Devotions from Calvary. This is Grace Steinke, the pastor of Calvary Baptist Church here in Troy, Ohio. Thank you for joining me today, and I'm glad that you're with me for another episode. We are on four subjects. We've been dealing with this for the past several episodes: salvation, faith, works, and purgatory. And we looked at several of these already, and we're going to kind of finish up a little bit on works. And trying to condense these, trying to make them so, well, not so long, and it's difficult, all right? It's just difficult. I hope that you watch these in their entirety to understand it and then to be able to carry on to the next episode so you can learn it and understand it. And these four subjects, I'm going to tell you, salvation, faith, works, and purgatory, are subjects of controversy, and especially when it comes to, and really it kind of stems from viewpoints, really, or opinions by different religions and so on and so forth. And so I want to help us with this, and just kind of get this settled in our heart and our mind. Remember, everything that we're going to say, everything that we come up with, everything that we're going to discuss, how about that, is going to be from the Bible. Again, you can take your Bible, whatever Bible you have, and you can look at it and see the very same thing that what I am speaking of and talking about. Now, these subjects become a very a platform, I suppose, for debating, and between what we might say, there's two categories or two types of opposing sides, unfortunately. You have Protestants, which are everything or everyone but Catholics, and then you have Catholics. Now, I was raised Catholic, and I understand. I'm going to be very sensitive to that, and I know that there are those that are Catholic that may be watching this as well, so I am very, very sensitive to not become very offensive, and I want to just speak the truth, all right? This is not in my opinion, but it's going to be through Scripture. And certainly, we do not want to debate on this. We do not want to argue. And it normally takes place when the emphasis of belief is not based on the truth of the Bible. So this is where we're going to make sure that we have a good foundation. And if it's not coming from the truth of the Bible, then it comes from the mind. It comes from opinions. And these teachings that are passed down from traditions or through church dogma. And so the only way that we can approach these subjects is by using Scripture as our source. And not just as our source, but Scripture in its context and its purpose by which it's intended. And so either whether it's mentioned by the Lord Jesus Christ, whether it's mentioned by Paul or the disciples, or the Gospels, or even in the Old Testament by some of the prophets and Psalms, everything we know is there to help, and all Scripture supports Scripture. I like what Paul told Timothy. He wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter number 3 and verse number 16 and 17, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable, all right? Profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now, Scripture is given, as it says there, for our teaching. That's what doctrine is. It's our teaching, for our chastisement, all right? For our reproof. Our chastisement, for our correction on what to do or how to do it correctly. And then it's also to instruct us to continue in a righteous manner, that a man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished, instruction in righteousness. That's what it means. Be instructed to do right, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So I want to continue. I've got my dog with me. Trooper is with me today. So if you hear some heavy panting, it is him over there. All right, just so you know, and I hope it's not a distraction, but he was whining outside. But let me continue with this, all right? Now, Scripture is given for our teaching, for our chastisement, for our correction, and even for our instruction, that we might continue in a righteous manner. In other words, to live a holy and pleasing life before God, all right? However, this verse mentioned works. It mentioned works. Now, does that mean that we are to work in some aspect for our salvation? Because this is one of the subjects that we're on, works. Does it mean that we are to work for some, in some aspect for our salvation? Does the amount of work and the magnitude of work have a direct application for salvation? This is a valid question, a valid argument, a valid wonder. Does this really have some bearing on our salvation? So I want to look at this. Several individuals, many individuals, are under the impression that we must work or perform or do good deeds in order to be acceptable into heaven. Now, you might be one that's listening and you say, well, I believe that. I've been taught that all my life, that the more deeds or the better deeds or the different things that I do for the church or in the name of the church or for good, and whether it's humanitarian efforts, that those things are accounted to me for my hopefully heaven prosperity, right? All right, so we're going to look at this. And hold on, let me let him out real quick. All right, I'm back. Now, here's the thing. So many are under the impression that we must work. Now, there are two major problems with this type of thinking, all right? Two major problems, and let me just share these. We're going to discuss these as we go through this and hopefully give you a little bit more of an understanding of this. And when we consider this type of thinking of a work salvation, it is a salvation by which is obtained by our efforts on this earth. That's basically what we're saying. It's just a my responsibility to do what I can to obtain heaven and hopefully, as they always say, the good outweigh the bad, all right? Well, the problem is, number one, the problem is that Scripture reveals in many passages that this is never taught. It is never mentioned. It is never preached or even alluded to. In fact, the Bible tells us the complete opposite. And we're going to look at this. So, problem number one is Scripture never tells us that. Problem number two, let's just say, for instance, all right, let's just play along here. Let's just say, for instance, that this is true, that I need to do works in order to receive salvation or to complete my salvation. Let's just think about this just to, for our brain to start working. And let's just say it's true that I must work or perform certain deeds in order to receive salvation. Then the questions that I would begin to ask, because I think I would want to know and I think you would want to know, is number one, how many must I do? All right. What's the limit? Is there a count? I mean, do we get some kind of a performance sheet that says, all right, you've got so many more you have to do. This is so many that you've already done. So how many must I do? And then how often should I do them? Am I supposed to do certain things every day? Or is it every week or twice a week? Is it bi-monthly? So how often do I do them? And to what degree of works are acceptable in comparison to works that are not? So you would say, well, I went out and I went to church today and that's what I did. Well, someone said, well, not only did I go to church, but I went out and I passed out food to the homeless, and that was my good deed for the day. Is there a comparison? Does one have more foothold than the other? So you have all of these different factors. I mean, then you have to ask, well, then who monitors the work? Who monitors what I do? How do I know where my gauge is? If I am to have all these works, if I'm supposed to kind of do these things and make sure I have enough and make sure that what I do is more profitable than those that are not as profitable, where's my gauge? Because if we are to work for our salvation, I don't know about you, but I'd like to know where I'm at. So either I need to work harder Or I can say, well, I'm almost caught up. I mean, I am at the brim. I've accomplished everything that I'm supposed to. Because you want to know before you take your last breath whether or not you made it. Isn't that, that's a hard, hard thought and really an unsettling thought. Because you don't want to find out at the end because it'll be too late. What you say is, well, I believe that, you know, that there's a purgatory and that's what purgatory is for. Well, let me say this, that's also misleading in Scripture. And we're going to hold that subject off for later. That'll be our last subject that we're going to get into, and that's going to be a very intense subject. Because if you're thinking, and the reason I bring in purgatory is because if I don't do enough works, then in purgatory, I will have to basically suffer or pay for until I reach the limit where God says, all right, you've suffered long enough, now come into heaven. We're going to look at that. Is there something in Scripture that speaks of that in the context of Scripture? Now, there are verses that are used, but they are out of the context. They are out of the context that God intended, or that Paul intended, even that Jesus intended in the parable that's used many times. So we're going to look at that. But let's consider, just for right now, just for the time being, for these next 2, 3, 4, 5, 8 minutes, all right? Because this subject also, the works plays this major role, and I want you to know the subject of works. So let's consider the first problem. Does the teaching of works of salvation ever appear in salvation? Does works appear in Scripture? It does. It does appear in Scripture, but for what reason? All right? The one verse that we read out of 2 Timothy 3:17, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works, simply means that due to the teaching of Scripture, due to the revealing of itself in us and to us, we will then be able, and by the working of the Holy Spirit within the believer, within those that are saved, trusted in Christ after salvation, not baptism. We talked about that previously. If you haven't heard it, go back one devotion and listen to that. But it's through the Scripture that's being revealed to us by the working of the Holy Spirit that after salvation, we will perform properly and effectively as a Christian, as a child of God. So when Paul told Timothy, he said, let the Scripture, which all Scripture, both Old Testament and New Testament, it is given for our admonition. It's given for our learning that we might live and perform properly and effectively as a child of God. Now, we must not we need to be very careful not to read in the Scripture any more than what it's intended. And I'm going to tell you this, that is the most general cause of misinterpretation. When you read in the Scripture something that was never there, something that was never alluded to, and something that's not supported anywhere else, we have to be so very careful. Certain beliefs would use the verse out of even Ephesians chapter number 2 and verse number 10, all right? It says, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto all good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Now, this verse is a power-packed verse of theology. It speaks about the omniscience of God, who, knowing the salvation of those who will trust in him, he had already fashioned them, created them for his perfect work, or we could say service in advance. God, knowing that those individuals would be saved, had already scheduled their life for service. Jeremiah 1:5 says this, and God is saying this to Jeremiah. God says to Jeremiah, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and ordained thee to be a prophet unto the nations. So what is he telling Jeremiah? I knew you even before you knew you, and therefore I knew what I was going to do with you. And so for the Christian, when it talks about works, it's talking about the works that we are to perform, the services, the ministries, because of our salvation. Because of our salvation. Salvation and justification have been completed in Christ. And this is what Paul has said when he told the church in Colossians chapter number 2 and verse number 10, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. So my salvation and my justification has already been completed in Christ according to the Bible, according to the Word of God. Paul wouldn't have not said that through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that we are complete in him if we are not complete in him. And the only reason Paul made the statement was that the believers in Colossae were being taught that false teachers were teaching works involving the Jewish laws for their justification, for their purification, and really ultimately for their glorification, placing those factors on man to accomplish when Christ has already done so. That's why Paul mentioned earlier in Colossians chapter number 2 and verse number 8, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy or through vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. It is what happens is when you take one verse out of its context, then it deletes supporting verses, and you come up with some belief system that is not true to the Bible. And therefore, it is identified, it is categorized, it is defined as false teaching. When you take something out of the Bible, you try to read something into the Bible that's not there, you take it out of its context, you conform it, twist it, and somehow try to fashion it the way you want it to say, and then you start to teach somebody that this is what the Bible says, when in fact it is not what the Bible says, it is false teaching. Because the Bible never says that we are to work for our salvation. Paul said we are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Ephesians 2, 8, 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And you better be careful, because there are those religious systems, and especially in the Catholic Church, that say, yes, we are saved by faith, we are saved by grace through faith, and we do receive the initial salvation. That's what they say, word for word, quoted, we receive the initial portion of salvation, but now it is laid upon you and me to fulfill and to become the additive to that salvation. Therefore, they add on the purgatory. That is not what the Bible speaks of. Titus 3:5 says, not of works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercies he saves us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. That's the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Once we are saved, the ministry of the Holy Spirit comes, and we are now washed in the righteousness of Christ. We become a new creature, and the Holy Spirit renews us in the likeness and the image of Christ. You cannot read these verses and say that, well, the initial grace of salvation is given and we are to do works or deeds or toil in order to fulfill or add or complete it by our own means. And of course, we're to do all of these things which God has had expected, and that what he wanted was the sinless sacrifice of Christ. Now says Christ gave you the initial portion of salvation, and now in your sinful bodies, in your sinful nature, you are to complete that. That is contradictory to even God. If we are to say that, then I'm going to say this, that's blasphemy, because what you are saying is that God, in sending his only son to die, as John 3:16 says, only died for a portion, a part of salvation, or that Christ was not able to complete it. But now we are to add to what Christ apparently could not do. You are also saying that Christ's death on Calvary was not sufficient. And therefore you think that you, in your own flesh, your own sinful flesh, can accommodate what apparently God couldn't. The bottom line is, if you are under the impression, under the false teaching, that works get you to heaven or some association with a humanitarian ministry or doing this and doing that with certain ministries or doing something in the name of Christ, and without salvation, you can do these things. You might want to listen to what Jesus himself said in Matthew chapter number 7 and verses 21 through 23. Jesus said, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven." In other words, not everyone that says or puts my name with association of an act or a ministry or help or something, well, we're doing this in the name of our church, in the name of this. He says, not everyone that comes to me and saith, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of the Father, all right, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And have we not cast out devils and done many wonderful works in thy name? And then will I profess unto them, Jesus says, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye worker of iniquity, or ye that work iniquity. He's basically saying, I never saved you. You never called on me. You are not my own. You're not one of my sheep. That's what he's saying. We say, well, what's the will of the Father? Because he says, he that doeth the will of the Father. Well, what's the will of the Father? Well, he says, it tells us what the will of the Father is, specifically in John chapter 6, verse 40. He says, and this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone that seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I'll raise them up in the last day. And you say, well, there's that word may. That means like, you know, maybe. No, it's not a maybe, and then it's not a possibility. That's not what he's saying. If you look it up in the Greek, it means that it is a holding. It is a receiving. All right, so just like your children will come to you and your grandchildren might come to you and say, Momo or Papa or Mom and Dad, can I have a snack? And it's, you know, 2 hours before lunch, can I have a snack? And you would turn around and you're trying to teach them good manners, which is a wonderful thing as a parent or grandparent, and you say, well, how do you ask? And they say, well, may I have a snack right now? And then you respond, yes, you may have a snack. In other words, you are giving that snack to them because they ask, and they are then receiving, and they have it. So that's what Jesus is saying. He that does the will of him that sent me, and that everyone that seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life. They will hold on to, they will receive everlasting life. Christ condemns those who think that they can work their way or be associated in some form without true confession and without true salvation. He condemns them. There are numerous other passages in the Bible that speak about the works, but in every case, not one verse, dear listener, not one verse speaks of working or doing good deeds in order to earn or complete salvation. Not one. Either your salvation is in and only in Christ, or you, dear friend, do not have salvation. Works, salvation is against Scripture. Trust, faith in the completed work of Christ for your salvation is what the will of the Father is. To trust in what God has done by sending his own Son. Don't think you could ever do enough in this life to earn salvation, because you can't. And we're going to look at purgatory because it stems from this. May God help us understand the truth in the Bible and in its context and for what reason and purpose it was intended. Thanks for joining me today. I'm Greg Steinke, the pastor of Calvary Baptist Church here in Troy, Ohio, 1045 Monroe Concord Road. Come by and visit with us. Love to have you and be my very special guest. Join my Facebook page, Devotion from Calvary, and then also maybe our Facebook page, Calvary Baptist Church in Troy, and you can watch all of our services and the archives there to get a flavor of our church. You can, if you have any questions, please email me at pastor@calvarytroy.com, and I'll be happy to answer any of your questions. Please share these videos and invite others to follow, and so we can reach 1,000 followers by the end of this year. And I need your help to do that, so please invite those around in your family and friends and let them know about the Devotions from Calvary. All right. Well, thanks for joining me today. I hope to see you here at the church sometime or see you online. Lord bless you.